The Australian Fitness Podcast is for anyone interested in understanding fitness, training, health, wellness, nutrition, and all things about health optimization. I interview experts from many different backgrounds, skill sets, and career paths. This is a podcast which provides valuable insight for anyone wanting to know more about optimizing their health and learning from those that have dedicated their careers and sometimes their lives doing so. Australian Fitness Podcast, episode 53. Okay, so here's the stats. Over 3.1 million followers on social media. 5 foot tall, 1.5 meters, 55 kilos approximately in weight, that's 121 pounds. She's squatted 145 kilos, 1RM. She's done a 82.5 kilo bench and a 165 kilo deadlift. She's a mother of two kids. Steph Sanzo is a dynamo in every respect. So when she says, hey kids, tidy your room, you better damn listen. We talked all things training, but I particularly wanted to focus on the importance of strength training for women and how this is an area that is still somewhat misunderstood by many. You may not want to climb strength training mountains as Steph has done, but if I were you ladies, I would take a very good look at how she trains and goes about it, especially if you want to get into some good, solid, technically proficient strength training. This is a good episode. This was a good chat. Steph doesn't do a lot of podcasts, so I was very fortunate to get her on the show, and we had a really good chat at towards the back end of the podcast. Her partner and coach, Jamie, comes into the conversation and makes some incredibly valuable points as well about just overall general health, fitness, and the state of where we're at with all of that. So it was a pleasure to talk to Steph and Jamie. Enjoy the episode. This is one for the ladies and those interested in strength training. Enjoy. Australian Fitness Podcast, episode 52, and we are staying in Victoria at the moment. In fact, that's pretty much all I can do. If you're listening to this within Victoria, you know what I mean by that. If you're outside of Australia or across the other side of the world, you know that unfortunately we're still in a lockdown phase, but things are easing out of that at the moment, just not quick enough. Now, today, I've got a guest that I've been wanting to get on the podcast for some time. I've been following Steph on social media and other and through other channels for some time. She's someone that I'm very impressed with her background, her training history, and everything that she's achieved, and I'm rapt to get her on the show. I'm going to get her to talk about herself initially and do an intro because she knows herself better than I do. Steph, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I actually am feeling pretty on top of the world. I just finished a big deadlift session, so I'm feeling like I can just like release myself for the rest of the day and know that the hard work's done.
Well, nothing's going to get those endorphins rushing like some heavy deadlifts, am I right?
That's right.
So Steph, you're Steph Sanzo. You've been known, though, through other Instagram handles. Tell us a little bit about yourself and currently what you do, and a little bit about your background and entry into the gym and strength training and how that eventuated, because it's an interesting background.
Yeah, so my interest in fitness it was never really there, to be honest. Like some people are brought up in a family that enjoy sports, or maybe one of their parents was like a runner or something like that. So there is no fitness in my side of the family, so my immediate family. So for me, it was like untouched waters. And the reason I fell into it was because I had babies. So I've got two children, and I basically wanted to learn how to lose the weight that I'd put on from having kids and get my health back. A lot of mothers would probably agree that you kind of forget about yourself when you have a baby. You just like, it's all like the babies and not enough about you, and things can just decline. So that really spiked my interest in, you know, getting my health back.
So you got two kids. How old are they now, Steph?
So 13 and 11 now.
Right. Okay. So they're teenagers essentially, or one is and the other one's close.
Yeah.
So is it fair to say then that your strength training history goes back some 12 to 13 years?
carrying the elders, yes. Yep. I was like at 25 kilos by the end of my overweight, like by the end of my pregnancy, and my like it was just all in the front. I was only petite. I think I'm 5 foot, so I had a lot of weight to carry, and Yeah, he was just a big baby. So it's definitely, yeah, it was an introduction before it even began.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. So, okay. So, yeah, so let me ask you that. You're 5 foot, so you're not super tall. What's your happy kind of body weight? Where do you normally sit at on a day-to-day basis? Because you have competed in bodybuilding shows and competitions as well as powerlifting, and we'll touch on that in a moment too, because some of the numbers that you've put out are really impressive. But you've competed in that world, but you know, on your normal day-to-day life, where do you sit there?
You know, I fluctuate, so I might, you know, when I'm doing a competition, I could be 52 kilos, sit comfortably there for a little bit. It's not too hard to be at 52. However, you know, I want to have muscle mass and not just be skinny lean. So I always fluctuate between 3 to 4 kilos from that. So at the moment I'm sitting at 55, which is pretty comfortable. That's me at maintenance in regards to my calories. And I'm feeling like I can hold that pretty well.
Yeah, right. I'm a person, and you know, I'm assuming you would be a little bit along the same lines, where the number on the scales does not define anything really. It's just a number on the scales.
To men.
Yeah. Well. For women. Yeah. Okay. No. You make a good point. You make a good point, because I find that even men, but mostly women, you're right, are very much. Over interested in the number on the scales. They're sometimes you know, really dejected by the number they see on the scales, and so, you know, people need to understand, and this is one of the reasons I got you on, that body composition is the key to it. So whilst you're 55 kilos, you know, or whatever you're sitting at the moment, the majority of that weight is lean, healthy muscle tissue. And yes, there's not a lot of body fat on you, but you train to achieve that, and I'm sure your nutrition and your work on your nutrition reflects that.
Yes, yeah. So it's funny, because before I started weight training, I was 45 kilos. So that would be my body. That was after kids as well, what I kind of sit at if I didn't have a heap of muscle mass. So that's a 10-kilo gain. Mm. In my mind, if someone said, you know, you're going to gain 10 kilos once you start weight training, that would have freaked me right out. Mm. I would have just imagined it as fat and maybe some muscle, and just that would have deterred me from even picking up weights in the first place. So I think you're right in regards to women having a really negative connotation around the scales and weight training, because you're right, you are going to put on scale weight when you are lifting.
Do people that you know, and I guess even people that you don't necessarily know, do they reach out to you and ask for your help and advice and thoughts on how they can manage their body composition and how they can, I guess, break down that fear or barrier to entry of doing strength training?
Yeah, all the time. It's like probably one of the biggest questions that I get asked, like in regards to my programs that I've got out at the moment. They're like, oh, if I do your program, is it like the bulk program, am I going to put on weight? And I have to try to break it down to them all the time. Like, yes, you're probably going to put on weight, but you're also going to lose fat. Mm. And it's probably going to even out in the scales. And you might not move at all, and maybe you might. It really depends on the person. But it is a myth that you really just have to bust, because it really, for some reason, holds women back.
Yeah.
And that's what's really important to me at the moment, is getting out there and showing, you know, the world that it's completely the opposite.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if anyone hasn't followed you on social media, they should follow you, especially if they're interested in strength training, because you know, one of the things that I love about your social media on Instagram is the quality of work that you put out. Because I've been strength training people of various abilities for 30 years, and one of my pet peeves is poor form, poor technique, poor execution, because I see it all the time. I see it in my own gym on a daily basis. But the work that you do and the videos that you post are exceptional from that regard. So clearly you and people that you work with are very aware of that and the technique of training properly and executing properly.
Yeah. And the thing is, it wasn't always like that for me. I came into it with really poor form. I think that when you're not educating yourself as you go and helping people, you know, look at what you're doing and give you their opinion, professional opinion, you're probably not going to get better at the lifts. And even to this day, say the sumo deadlift, which is really, really technical, I see it all the time on social media and see how people are doing it. I'm like, oh, they could do better here and there. But the fact is, I've been doing that lift for about 7 years and I've had 7 years to perfect it. And maybe it looks like I'm on my page now and all the lifts are perfect, but I've had my moments where I've had to really work on them. And some of them I do break down and I'm not the best and I'm still learning. I can humbly say that I'm still learning more as I go. But I'm really lucky to have had my partner, Jamie, who's been in the industry about 12 years now, teach me from the get-go the foundations of the lift. So I've had it pretty good. Haven't had to make too many mistakes, but he's taught me a lot of what I know today.
Yeah, right. I feel like Steph, that more and more women are really starting to embrace this whole modality of strength training, though, because if you go back into the fitness scene, let's say 15 or 20 years, there was still a lot of what I call the cardio queen, the female who would you know, endlessly and relentlessly, you know, drive themselves on the treadmills or the steppers or whatever in an attempt to manage their weight or manage their body composition. But I feel like we've really had some impact over the last few years, and women now are really starting to embrace strength training and enjoy getting strong. Are you seeing that yourself?
I think so. I think I am. It's coming out more and more. I must admit, though, like starting out, I was that cardio bunny. I think we all kind of start there as women because that's what we're told we need to do in order to lose weight. And in some respects, it can be depending on your goals and how your body responds to things, but it's not the only way. And I think that people are just so black and like black about it, that that's the only way and I have to do that. And then anything else like is always secondary to cardio. So to be able to, I actually did a post on this not long ago, you know, saying that you don't need cardio to lose weight. And people were kind of really shocked by that because they're like, well, what about heart health? What about this? I'm like, well, yeah, cardio is great for that, but you don't need it in order to lose fat. So correct. Trying to get that across to people, they can get really offended about it and they just don't get it because we've been taught it for so many years, like you said.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, and, you know, it's important that part of that process for people to become comfortable with strength training is they actually need to strength train. They need to do it. Yeah. They need to understand it, embrace it, learn it. And over time, feel and see how that changes their body composition for the better. I think there's a massive, you know, you can't, it's very hard to convince someone of something in terms of a physical outcome if they're not trying to achieve that themselves. I want to ask you then, so what's your training regime look like on a weekly basis? How many times a week are you in the gym? How is that planned out for you? And how do you manage it? I mean, as a mum, you've clearly got other responsibilities and a lot of them. So how do you balance it all out? Because I know a lot of people are sitting there right now perhaps thinking, well, clearly Steph's got, you know, someone that does this all for her or helps her through this. You know, she's got lots of support or a team behind her. How do you manage it? How do you put it all together?
So I definitely, my biggest support is my partner. Yep. But I don't have nannies. I don't have grandparents always babysitting my kids. We are very much on our own in that respect. And I am fortunate that the kids are older now. When they were younger, I definitely struggled with time to be able to go out into the gym every 2 minutes. So I actually worked out from home in the shed in the earlier days and did what I could. However, now I do have a lot more freedom because they're in school all day. But I think a lot of people assume that I'm in the gym for 10 hours of the day and that's all that I do. But they forget that social media is like a 1% of my actual life and that we put out there what we want to put out there and people make an assumption. But my goal at the moment is to get the awareness out there that as long as you're starting, you can start anywhere. It doesn't have to be in a gym. It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to know everything. You kind of learn as you go. So take away that intimidation factor. In regards to my training right now, my split always changes because it's really dependent on what's going on with sweat, where I've got my fitness apps because I want to pump out those workouts for others to do at home so they can click save if they're not on a training program and I'm giving them basically a free workout. And then also I try and fit my own goals in there, which is sometimes hard because, you know, I want to get stronger, and to do that you have to have more structure. So I do find it kind of hard to balance the both sometimes, to kind of give but then also have my own goals.
Yeah.
So I'm in the middle of trying to find a really happy medium with that. In the past, I've overtrained and done too much, and it's done the opposite for me.
Yep.
And then I've had to pull back and go, okay, well, what's important? So I'm in that stage at the moment where I found a really good place where I'm training between 4 to 5 days a week. Some of them might be really light sessions, and, you know, others might be 3 heavy days where I'm focusing on the squat, bench and dead to really get stronger.
Yep.
So it really varies. It's not as structured as what I would like it to be, honestly, right now, but we'll get there.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, one of the issues with exercise is life gets in the way. And as you know, the number one reason that people make as an excuse to not get fitter, get leaner, train harder is time. But you know, time is not an endless commodity. Everyone's bound by limits of time. So I guess it's, you know, 2 sessions a week is better than no sessions a week. So let me ask you this: what would you recommend if people are listening now and they're thinking to themselves, well, clearly Steph's got it nailed, but she's been doing it for a long time, as we've found out. If I'm a beginner, if I'm a female and I've never touched weights before, but I'm interested in doing so, what would be your advice? Where would I start? How should I start? What would be the process in your opinion?
In my opinion, I think the best thing to do is get yourself a trainer, whether it's a program online or a trainer in your pocket or in person. I think to really get the foundations right first and some structure is going to help you be disciplined and consistent. I think just going in by yourself, staring at the equipment, having no plan is really going to deter you from even, you know, sticking to your new goals. So I feel like go in with a plan. You know, it doesn't have to be crazy 6 days a week. It can be 2, just like you said, you know, maybe 2 full body days. Yeah. Just to get you started with the basics, but to get the body moving and get yourself used to getting in the habit of being in the gym. So I really do encourage people to find a program. Commit to the days that you can commit to, that you know are those days, no matter what, that you're not going to be doing groceries on that day or anything else. Those are your days for you. Mm. And once you do that, it should be pretty easy to set yourself up from there. And then you can add more as you go and you get more comfortable.
I have seen some of those posts that you've put up around the whole idea of, you know, structure, discipline, execution, repetition, consistency. Like, they're, you know, they're words that that often conjure up you know, thoughts of, oh, this is going to be so hard, this is going to be so difficult. But I mean, you know, once people get into this sort of stuff, I think they eventually feel and see the rewards for themselves, and then all of a sudden the motivation and the enthusiasm starts to build, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I talk a lot about motivation isn't real. That's why it does come down to consistency and discipline, because you're not always going to feel motivated. I know I've walked into the gym many times and sat on the leg extension at home and just cried because I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And like, maybe I should put that on Instagram, but there's been many times like that where I've just bawled my eyes out saying, oh God, do this. But I know that it's my emotions speaking, not the fact that it's hard. It's the fact that I'm telling myself it's hard. So just getting out of that motivation headspace, that like emotional headspace, detaching yourself and saying, you know what, this is a choice. Like, you have to go to work. You have to earn money. That is a choice. It's non-negotiable. But you do it every day because you have to. If you look at training the same, you say, I'm going to do this for my health. I'm going to do this because I have a goal. I'm going to do this because it's non-negotiable. You're going to probably be more consistent than, you know, getting on Instagram and, oh, I feel motivated and I need motivation. It's not real. Like, you just have to make a commitment and a decision and know that not every session is going to be a good session, because it's really not. That's when the discipline has to kick in.
Yeah, I love that. That's terrific. Right, I want to take this in a different direction. Let's talk about this. Did you ever imagine... Maybe you did. This will be interesting to ask you, but did you ever think that when you first started this out that this was going to blow up? I mean, for instance, you know, as I look at your profile, you've got over 2 million Instagram followers. I'm not going to tell you that I've got 1,300, because that's kind of embarrassing. But no, seriously though, this is amazing. This is outstanding. And I'm not talking about the followers. I jest, but... Like you've got an actual career out of this. You are impacting literally millions of people, probably millions of females in a really positive way. That's got to feel cool. That's got to feel rewarding.
It still hasn't sunken in. And I don't know if it's because it's just a number and I forget that there are people behind there. Mm-hmm. So I don't really go, oh, wow. I don't go, woo, this is awesome. I just keep doing my job. And what's funny, Russell, is, you know, how I was speaking about discipline and making a decision in your training, the way Instagram came for me was I was at home with the kids and I was a stay-at-home mum because I had to step down from my job because I couldn't have kids and do my job. It was quite busy. And a lot of traveling. So I had to make a decision to be at home with the kids. And I remember downloading Instagram. It was new at the time. I think this was in 2012. And my sister told me about it. And I thought it was a filter site where you put a photo up and then put a cool filter over the top. Like there's all these different ones that you could do. And I didn't actually understand it was a social media site. However, I put a couple of photos up of the kids and I had these pages like it. I'm like, who are these people liking my posts? Like, I'm like, I don't understand this. So I actually Googled it. And then some of these pages that I clicked on had like a 10K. And I was like, what the hell's a K? What does this mean? Anyway, the beauty about this is I said to myself and I made a decision. I'm like, I'm going to get 10K.
Yeah.
And I did whatever it took to get 10K. And the thing is, I was just consistent. It said you had to have a genre. And I was like, okay, a genre to grow this page. And I was like, I was doing fitness at the time, trying to lose my body weight. So I'm like, I'm going to share my journey to inspire others. So that's what actually started. I made a decision that I was going to grow Instagram. It didn't just happen. It just didn't blow up. I have been grinding at it for freaking years because I made a decision that I'm going to grow this. I'm going to do what it takes to make it bigger. And if that means sharing my journey every day, posting every day, responding back to everybody, I'll do it in order to see it blossom. And I think I've done that with my training as well. If I want to get stronger, keep going. And it honestly, the gateway to success is being disciplined and consistent in no matter what it is, whether it's Instagram, whether it's fitness, whether it's your job, like just on the grind all the time, even if it's flatlining and there's nothing happening, going back and doing it anyway and staying on it and not deterring away because it gets hard. So that's actually how Instagram blew up as such, just that consistency with it.
Well, that's what they mean when they say, Steph, that it's taking you 10 years, 11 years to become an overnight success, huh?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate hearing that word blow up. It's like, no. It's like years in the making.
No, I know. I kind of, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like what's happened to you in that profile space hasn't happened by accident. I understand. It seems to me that you're a fairly disciplined, dedicated, headstrong lady. Am I right?
I think what I've been through in my life has made me into that. I've had a bit of a rough run, but it's only made me more resilient and stronger, and I don't regret anything at all. So yeah. I'd say that.
You got to take those scars with you and wear them as a badge of honor because they form your personality, don't they? They form your strengths and they, you know, it's been, I mean, you live in Victoria. You've seen what's happened to Victorians over the last 14 months, especially in the fitness industry. You know, we people, and you're part of that, we people in the fitness industry have really had some pretty tough times. And have you still got a facility that you use at home, Steph?
Yeah, we're really lucky. So we do have a home gym that we built about 4 years ago now. You know, we had a collaboration with Aussie Strength. They're a really good Australian-based equipment company. So we have a really good relationship with them and the equipment's really, really great and we're really lucky to have it. If I didn't have that, I don't know what I would have done. So I feel pretty humbled that we were able to kind of get through COVID, you know, without going through too much. But I know there are a lot of people out there that struggled and I really feel for them because even right now, like the gyms are still on lockdown and it's just hard. Like people need it for their mental health, for, you know, rehab, for whatever it is. Like there's a real need. So it's just a bit of a frustrating process at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, and shout out to Aussie Strength. They do make great stuff. I mean, I've bought their stuff before as well. And it's good quality kit. You no doubt about that. So I want to ask you too, from a sweat perspective, tell us a little bit more about how that works for you. What do you, you know, what's your contribution to that? You're obviously bringing expertise to that platform, and that's more along the strength training aspect, correct?
Yeah, we do have a home program at the moment as well, which is kind of not geared towards like powerlifting or anything, because not everyone has a setup at home, but it's, you know, all about shaping the body, you know, losing weight, burning calories, all that kind of thing. So it's a mixture of both. But coming into Sweat, we came on as strength specialists. So my programs are structured, the main gym program is like structured as a strength program / bodybuilding program. So I like to call it a power building program. Yeah. It's a hybrid of both. That's the way that I like to train. And I didn't see that there was much of that out there. It was always either just powerlifting or bodybuilding. So I wanted to bring something unique to the table. I felt like there's a real space for it. So yeah, it's like a power building program. It's helping chicks lift heavy and blowing out the stigma around lifting.
Yeah, nice. Helping chicks lift heavy. I like that. Also, getting back to what you do in terms of technique, I like the fact that a lot of the exercises and examples that you provide are formulated around really good, solid key lifts. One of the things that frustrates me a little bit, and I'm not sure how you view it, but there's just a lot of stuff on social media, Instagram and wherever, YouTube as well, but there's just a lot of stuff out there that a lot of people are confused by, and I call it trick training. So people doing weird combinations of movements or weird looking exercises in an attempt to try and to create a perception that it's different or it's unique or it's better or it's funky. You know what I mean? Whereas a lot of the stuff you do is just grounded in that basic, you know, deadlift movement, squat movement, lunge movement, press movement, pull movement, you know, the meat and potatoes training. You obviously still do a lot of that.
Yeah. So we all know that the basics work, right? If you do something for a long period of time, you're going to get better at it, stronger at it. I do see the same types of things on Instagram or whatever platform that you're talking about. They're like clickbait worthy. It's like, oh, I've never seen that before. And people are like injuring themselves just to do something like weird, whether it's a tandem lift with like another mate and they're both like, and they're pulling biceps. And like, you see a lot of that. And like, I understand it because it's the entertainment factor and it is a saturated industry and everyone's just trying to stand out. But at the end of the day, if you're really wanting to help people, you just got to give them the basics. And it is something that I do get highly criticized for. It's like, oh, do you do anything else? I'm like, no, I don't need to. Yeah, I've been there and done the fun stuff and it's not that great.
Well, I love that answer because, you know, that is a very honest answer. And you're right. Like, you know, you've been training for years, but you are still doing the basic core movements. I mean, I'm sure you manipulate things along the way. Everyone does. You have to. You have to, right, in order to keep developing. But strength training does not need to be funky or different or tricky to be effective.
That's right. And, I mean, like you can, I don't know, you can do a lunge and just play around with, like, you know, you can do like a pulsing. There's lots of things that you can do with the basics, you know. Doesn't always have to be boring to shock the body, but I think that women especially, and I found this working with a lot of people on the Sweat app, is they just get bored really quick. Women love variety, and you probably find it the same with your own clients. They like things to be changing all the time. So it's really hard to encourage them to just stay on it and stick with it and keep going with the same thing. So I think that's why there's a lot of misconceptions and junk out there, because they know it sells and they know that, you know, if you give women changing things all the time, they're going to keep going and stay with you. So it's unfortunate, but you know that you're getting bread and butter with me, so.
No, but I think that's great. I really do. Let me just throw some of these numbers out there. Like, you're 55 kilos or thereabouts, right? And you have a 145. Now, are these PBs, a 145 kilo squat? Is that your PB at the moment?
Yeah, and I haven't tested my squat for about 4 years.
Really?
So that was 4 years ago. So I would have been like, I don't know, 53 kilos when I did that. Wow. That was in reps. Still, I love my reps.
Yeah, but still, like an impressive. That's nearly three times body weight. That's crazy. An 82.5 kilo bench press. Wow, and a 165 kilo deadlift.
Yeah. So obviously, my strong lift is my deadlift. That's my favorite lift of all. I do find that was on a sumo as well, the 165. I find that I'm not as confident or stronger with the conventionals. That's why I like to sit with the sumo, only because I had a back injury a while ago. Excuse me. And I've always had that mental barrier to get over. As soon as I feel my back pulling, I'm like, oh, let go, like don't do it. So that is with the sumo lift, but I'm trying to bring the conventionals back in to get the strength up with that as well, because obviously the two of them work together. And so that's my PBs at the moment. It would be good to go back and test them because it's been a while. So yeah. You never know.
Do you complement your strength training with anything else? And by that I mean in terms of recovery, regeneration, what are the practices that, because this is something that a lot of people are interested in, what are the practices that you employ? Because you're training regularly, you're training hard, you're obviously putting your body under, relatively high levels of stress, which is fine. How do you recover? How do you regenerate? What are your favorite practices on those areas?
To be honest, Russell, I was the worst at recovering. I would put it last. I'd be like, I don't need to do that crap. Like, I got things to do. I'd come inside from training, dinner on, bathing, kids homework, like forget about myself until I started incurring injuries. So my thyroid started playing up and all of these things started happening to me. So now recovery and warming up and all that kind of thing has been my biggest like teaching point. It's something that I've really spent a lot of time doing. So before I train, I'll always stretch, whereas I never used to stretch before. I'll always spend a good 20 minutes working on the muscle group I'll be working for the day. And then post-training, I don't really foam roll or anything, but I do make sure that, 1 to 2 times a week I'll go see a chiropractor. We've actually got an appointment tonight to align my body again from ruining it with training. And I will, see a my therapist or a physio if I'm feeling tight anywhere. So it's kind of maintenance, but the stretching is really like my bread and butter. I always make sure I'm doing that before I actually train.
Yeah, nice. Now, Jamie, your partner, is he part of this sort of concept as well? Is he part of the coaching and training team that you guys use to produce all the good stuff?
Yeah, well, I'll bring him on.
Yeah, bring him in. Let's have a chat to the man.
Is he eating his salmon?
is he coach Jamie as well?
He's a coach. He's a strength coach.
Hello.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. So I've got to ask you, are you scared of the dynamo on your right shoulder there? Is she a bit of an intense young lady?
You wouldn't believe it. You got to be careful, I tell you. No, she's scared of me. Other way around.
Now, look, I was saying to Steph, what I love about what you guys are doing is the quality of the examples. I think that if you just want to have a good look at quality training on a regular basis, it's hard to go past what you guys produce. That's obviously a very big part of your philosophy.
Yeah, I think that we've been in a pretty unique situation though as well. Like it's not everyone that has a trainer with them 24/7. So I guess the way that it started with me and Steph was that I started just helping and teaching some powerlifting movements, because I was obviously very into powerlifting at the time. Steph had done a lot of like bodybuilding and other sort of work, but not powerlifting specific work. So we ended up, going through a couple of sessions and trying to refine those movements. Then shortly after, we got romantically involved, and she just couldn't resist my teaching.
Of course, of course.
And then once I saw a squat, I just couldn't help myself either, And then anyway, we had this balance of, starting to train, but then I was looking at what she was doing and said, hey, you're really good at this. You're really strong. She was obviously doing a bit of social media at the time, and then I picked up a camera and started filming and then continued to do that. So I kind of act as part media manager as well as trainer. I can kind of give a dual aspect into what she's doing. So we know, for example, myself, like I've been training a long time and I still do things pretty wrong if I don't have someone there. Whereas I guess we have that advantage, whereas I'm always kind of watching and can critique things as we go. But it's definitely a work in progress at all times, that's for sure. But she does have an exceptional movement patterns and is very skilled in her movements after everything that we've done, that's for sure.
Can I just say, like, winding back to why I actually started training powerlifting with him is because I worked at a gym that he opened up as a trainer. He asked me to come on as a trainer. We were just friends. And I was, you know, a woman's coach. So I was just teaching them, you know, bodybuilding, fat burning, whatever. And in the background, because it was a powerlifting, strongman-based gym, all these blokes just heavy lifting, grinding, like it was crazy. And the girls would come to me and they're like, what are they doing? Like, what is that? I'm like, oh, you know, it's powerlifting, whatever. They're like, oh, can we do that? I'm like, So I came to him, I said, hey, listen, my girls want to know how to do this. I don't know. Can you teach me? Because it's not something I learned at my course. No. And then I can teach them. So he's like, if I'm going to teach you, I'm going to make sure that you're doing it. So it wasn't a matter of him just kind of going through the movements. He made me powerlift.
Yep.
And loaded those bars. Yep. He put me under the pump. Yep. I think like I remember doing a squat. He's like, show me a squat. And I hadn't ever squatted. And he put 100 kilos on the bar straight up. And I think I did a half rep, but like I felt pretty accomplished. I actually did. And then that's kind of when I fell in love with it. I was like, this makes me feel powerful. Like, yeah. I love this.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. That's the thing, isn't it? Because when you lift heavy and when you get good at lifting heavy, I totally agree. There is a feeling that you get, whether it's a hormonal response, part of it is, but I know another big part of it is that emotional, mental satisfaction of I can move serious weight. And I wish, and I know it's getting better, but I just wish more women would embrace that and not be scared of it, because it's still prevalent out there in the fitness scene. I know it is, but I wanted to get you on and talk about, you know, just how you've really embraced it. And it's just made your life, I would imagine, you've experienced things that you would have probably never experienced had you not started to learn to lift heavy.
That's right. And I think, like, I must admit, when I actually said to you, Jamie, I said, when he was like making me lift, I'm like, am I going to like get big and bulky and turn into the Hulk? Like, I don't, and I got a photo up. I'm like, I don't want to look like that. He's like, you're not going to look like that. I'm like, no, but that's what they look, the power lifter, that's what they look like.
I think I said, just try it. Let's just do it for 4 weeks. What's the worst that can happen?
Exactly.
And then,
by then, I had forgotten about what my body would even look like because I was so fixated on pulling numbers.
It was going back to that story. I didn't just load her with 100 kilos. You don't have to start at 100 kilos. Right?
No,
she'd already built up an incredible amount of foundational strength. So I said, well, let's just see what's doable and let's gradually work up and then see what breaks down. And then we can work from there, and then we can start to define what needs improving and how we kind of construct the program around that. It just so happened to be 100 kilos before anything started to break down for Steph.
Yeah.
So she was doing things relatively comfortably up until that point. But once hitting that triple digit mark, which is always an exciting mark to hit, that was kind of, I think, a big mental win. I knew as soon as that she handled that, even though it might not have been the best, that sold her, right? Because I think
I took that half rep. I tell you what,
I think that one of the things, as you mentioned, Russell, is that like one of the huge advantages with strength training is that it provides tangible feedback as to how much you're improving, whether you are improving or not improving. The downfall with people chasing aesthetic related goals is that they are guessing. You know, we can do things like girth measurements or skin folds, but the amount of people that go to that extent to measure that is probably very few. Whereas we always know whether we can lift a heavier weight or not. You know, 100 kilos is always going to be 100 kilos. And if you can lift more than that, then it's a clear indication that you're getting better.
I think that's
a lot more motivating from that perspective.
I think that's a very, very wise observation. I think if more people spend time in the gym chasing an improved lift, obviously with good technique, but if they've spent more time chasing a better lift rather than a bigger bicep or a change in aesthetics, I think that success would happen for them a lot more frequently, wouldn't it? Because it's very hard to change a body area or your body in general. It's very hard to create, you know, a significant change in your physique, but it doesn't take as much work to add another 5 kilos to the bar.
Definitely. And I think one of our philosophies as well has always been like, you know, maybe nice body, but what can you do with it? Like it's not necessarily from a functionality perspective. Like it's great to look good, but I think we also are built to perform. Like we've been given this gift of a body. we want to be able to do something. And one of the slogans that we often go by is that we try and lift like we look and look like we lift.
Yeah, that's right?
As opposed to just one or the other.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So play the part and be the part at the same time.
Well done. All right, I'm going to ask you one last question because I reckon you two would have some really strong opinions on this. I don't ask this question to all my guests, but you two, I need your thoughts on it. And it's this one. Australia is somewhere in the vicinity of 68 to 70% of the population being overweight or obese. And I've been fighting this battle for a very long time and I feel like I'm losing the battle. What are your thoughts on this? Can we fix it? Is it fixable at all? Can we make any impact into this this problem that is Australians becoming heavier and heavier and more overweight and more unhealthy? And where does it start in your opinion? How would you even start, guys?
I'll tackle this one because it can often get political and I will apologize in advance.
No, go there, mate. It's okay.
But I think, and this is just my perspective, maybe not necessarily Steph's perspective, but my perspective is that we live in a culture that bubble wraps everything. We can't use the F word anymore unless we're, we've got to be very careful with what we say and we never want to put people down. And that's definitely not what my intention is. But often I think there's a continuous message that everyone's okay as they are.
Accept yourself as you are.
Accept yourself, love yourself. And I'm all for self-love, but I think that at the same time, if there's health-related issues that you're sacrificing because of that, then maybe the health needs to come before the self-love, because if, the self-love comes before health and then you end up with a disease, then it's pretty hard to love yourself. You're in strife. We've got, a hierarchy of needs. And one of those things is that we have to take care of our body first in order for us to get to that point of, love for self, let's say, for example.
Yep.
And I think that maybe that's one of the big fundamental issues that's happening right now, is that there's this message being pushed that no matter what shape you are is okay. And again, that's not necessarily saying that's wrong, but I am saying if you take it so far to the extent that you are compromising your general well-being, then there's probably a bit of an issue with that. Mm. And I think that there just needs to be a little bit more transparency and a little bit more truth about, how we treat that situation and how we talk to people, because people are very afraid of upsetting anyone. Even right now, I'm sure that, I'm biting my tongue as to what I could actually say about this.
Sure,
Because we're, this is a touchy and very triggering subject.
Yeah.
And my intention is to absolutely help people in this regard, and I don't want to upset anyone. But that's definitely, I guess that's from my perspective, I believe that's kind of where that's coming from in a way. Obviously, there's other things such as, marketing is... become better and better at pushing messages down people's throats. I think there's a huge lack of education as well. We can blame all of those other things, but then I think that we could also really come back to taking responsibility for the individual. And, most of us know that certain things are unhealthy. Most of us will be told that we are looking unhealthy or we experience health-related issues. And when that does occur, that's then time to take responsibility as to finding out how we can actually fix that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true in all aspects. I think as coaches, I know myself, how I approach people today is a lot different to how I approached people 10, probably 20 years ago. I just have to be so much more aware, and that's fine. That's a good thing. I was probably a bit blunt back in the early days of what I used to do. I was probably a bit too blunt, but... But you're right, Jamie. I think that everyone is hypersensitive these days, and as a result, it's very hard to tell people the truth when you can't actually speak the truth. It's difficult. I agree. And I'm sure, Steph, having two kids, you're very aware of what exercise do they do and how do they eat and how active are they and what messages are they hearing and what kind of food are they consuming. And because as a parent of three boys, I don't tell them to never eat fast food, but they understand, having grown up in our house, that there's a time and a place for everything. And if you make activity fun and engaging, and if they play sport and if they get outside on a regular basis, it becomes the norm, doesn't it? It's just what you do. It's what you do. And I'm sure your kids watch you and go, well, that's just how humans live. We exercise and we eat well, you know.
They're funny. They are more of a junk eater than me. But I always tell them, like, I'm like, you're giving yourself parasites. Parasites love sugar. And they're like, oh. And I just put the fear factor in them a little bit. It's my awesome parenting, really. But, yeah, you're right. I think they know that we're very healthy, the both of us, and we do train. And the oldest is training now at the moment. He's awesome. Getting some muscle. Yeah, the youngest runs like twice a week. She's a runner. She's really fast. She's got really muscly legs. So we just pump them with their strengths. You know, we're like, Maya, you're fast. Like, let's do this. She's like, yeah, I want to win. I'm like, you can do the Olympics. Like, but you've got to eat healthy. Like, you need the energy. And the son doesn't really like to eat a lot of food. He's a skinnier boy, although he's gaining muscle. But, like, to encourage him to eat his protein, we're like, you want to gain that size? You want those biceps to be big? Like, you've got to have protein. That's a foundation. And we educate them along the way instead of just, like, saying, you're not having this, you're not having that. We lead by example and allow them to make the choice ultimately. But, yeah, we don't have a lot of, I don't know, bad. Like, we don't eat Maccas every day. Like, we know when you can have a treat. We don't want everything to be so healthy, but by the time they're 18, they just want to consume as much junk food as possible. Yeah. That would be the worst outcome. So.
I think the whole thing about lead by example, that speaks more than what words could ever say, right?
And correct.
I think that, like you said, you do become like the people you hang around. So if you're in a position where you are playing the parent role to kids, I guess it's something to be mindful that they're watching your behavior and they will mimic your behavior.
Yeah.
So there's a responsibility that has to be taken there.
Well said. You're spot on. Yeah. Guys, I'm conscious of time. I know you're both very busy. You know what? What I've loved today is just getting down to know the individual that sits behind the Instagram profile, because there's always a person behind that. And I think that's really, you've let that come through. So I appreciate that. I will put all of your social details up on the show notes of this episode, but I just want to finish by saying I want to thank you guys, both of you, for putting out great quality content. You know, with all of the followers that you guys have built, people looked to that for leadership and for direction, for good training and good quality outcomes, and you guys are providing that on a daily basis. So from me to you, well done for putting out great stuff in an industry that's often, you know, riddled with rubbish, and what you do is high quality stuff. So thank you. Thanks for being on the show. If people want to reach out to you, Steph, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can email, DM me on Instagram. I try and get back to everybody. Responsibility, but having this platform means a lot to me, so I never take advantage of it. So I do read a lot of the messages. So any way that they can contact me, go for it.
Excellent.
And thank you for having us as well.
And thank you for your kind words.
It's been a great chat. I really love what you're doing, especially showing females that you know, lifting heavy should not be feared. It's a great activity. Strength training, I say, is, in my opinion, is the best form of exercise for anyone, whether they're 8 or 80. You can always get stronger and it can always benefit you. So, guys, appreciate it. Thanks for being on the show. We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Russell.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. I'd appreciate it greatly if you would follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook, The Australian Fitness Podcast. If you would like to reach out to me for professional services or to know more about my background, visit www.russelljarrett.com.au. And you can also follow me on Instagram at russell_jarrett1. If you have any questions or feedback, feel free to email us at info@australianfitnesspodcast.com.au. If you have any ideas for guests that you would feel would be valuable to our listeners, let us know. Currently, Australian Fitness Podcast doesn't have a sponsor. If you think your product or service would be a good match for the show, reach out to us. Thanks, and we'll see you soon.